Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number... It says 119 there, it's not episode 119. My notes are trying to trick me here. I think this is, episode 121. I'm too behind on my notes. My name is Will Wilson, I'm your host this week, and with me is John Jordan.
Hello.
Hello, how are you, John?
I'm very well. Where's the third member then? Where's the other one?
Tracy?
Yeah. Where's he?
I don't know. He's off. He's jet setting around America.
These Americans. I don't know.
The country's too big. They have to fly everywhere. It does always amaze me. I think he's only down. I think he's in San Francisco, isn't he, at the moment? But I mean, he's right near there. He's right near there on the map in my brain, but actually it's like a flight away. I'm sure it's something like 8 hours by car or something. In England, if you go 8 hours by car, you're at the top of Scotland, from wherever you start. Anyway, yes, so it's just us two this week. I gave up smoking this week.
Well done.
And then I started again. Big tip for everyone listening, don't take up smoking because it's actually really hard to stop. I'm sure you all know that, but it's worth reiterating. And also, it's not cool anymore. When I was younger, it was cool to smoke. Nowadays, you get frowned on.
Is it not an app for stopping smoking, surely?
Probably is. Probably about 100 of them. Yeah. I should actually look that up. Anyway, let's go straight into the news. Right, first up on the news, the readers' votes have closed. The lines have closed. So stop calling in. We'll have winners announced very soon, so stay tuned to the site for that. What else in the news? Let's start with a regular story. iPhone 5.
What?
It's... iPhone 5? I know. It's amazing, isn't it? iPhone 5? That's impossible. Okay, current rumours are now it is coming out in June. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that it may have an 8 megapixel camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and who told you that then?
Bob, down at the pub.
Bob.
He's the one with the dog. Looks like the dog's kind of undead.
If Bob said that, then that's it.
Bob said it. No, actually, it was Wall Street Journal. Yeah, there are apparently rumours that Sony is building the 8 megapixel camera for the iPhone 5. But then he sort of countered that, Mr. Walt Mossberg from Sony, he's the Sony CEO, by saying, why would I make Apple the best camera?
Mm.
Ah, so it probably isn't.
But, I'm none the wiser. I'd listen to Bob, frankly.
Yeah, Bob seemed to know a bit more about it than the CEO of Sony. But yeah, it doesn't make that much sense. Why would Sony make a camera for Apple? They're kind of competing. I mean, actually, having said that, Samsung makes batteries for loads of people, don't they?
Well, Samsung make the chips, don't they? Chips for the iPhone.
And also, So it's not that mad. I don't know why you're so against the rumor, John.
I'm not. I'm just saying stuff, and the rumor's just completely unravelled. I mean, you tried to unravel it, and it unravelled itself.
Well, I suspect it's going to have more megapixels. Surely, what's the current one? It's 5, right, for the iPhone 4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But as someone pointed out in one of the comments, I think it was this comments, the sensor. I mean, true. I mean, you could have a 12 megapixel camera, and have a poor sensor. And it won't be very good pictures because like any slight low light and you'll have a bad image. So of course. And the lens, the quality of the lens. I mean, it's quite a lot of factors to making a good camera.
you apparently own the best smartphone camera in the world.
I do disagree I think it's Gediel or Gediel. I apologize if I pronounce your Nick wrong, but yeah, no, the N8's camera's not that great. I don't think it's very, very good myself personally. I actually prefer Samsung's cameras to the N8, which I know that goes against the grain because their megapixels are lower. But they're really good. I like Samsung's cameras on the devices I've used them on. They also have good camera software. I think Apple's camera software is pretty good as well. But yeah, there's a lot of elements. The best ever phone camera I've ever used is still the K800.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it black and white?
No, it's still just for a long time. Really good. Carl Zeiss lens, back when it meant something. 3 megapixels. But it's really good. I don't know what it is about it. It's got anti-shake and everything, and it's like on a really quite a crappy old keypad phone. But whilst my Windows Phone 7 one, this HTC Mozart, HTC make the worst cameras. They are terrible. Mm. The moment, even if you slightly move, it just blurs like crazy.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of HTC cameras. My one's got really odd. Everything gets a slight pink tinge to it, which is all, seems to be impossible to take out, even in Photoshop. It's just like, how do they do that?
I like the iPhone 4's camera. I think it's one of the better.
We seem to have wandered off track somewhat.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, we're talking about cameras now. We were talking about cameras before.
That's true. Should we just say the iPhone 5 will come out at some point?
Yeah, let's go for that. That's a rumor I can go with. Let's go for one that hasn't broken yet. Well, it hasn't come true yet. It's broken already. World of Goo heading to the iPhone soon. It's been submitted for approval.
Yeah, they've announced it, haven't they?
They've announced it. Yes. World of Goo. Interestingly, didn't they say it wouldn't work on the iPhone way back when they were still working up for the iPad?
Yeah, but to be honest, it depends. The guys who did the original World of Goo didn't do the port, did they? They got someone else in to port the iPad version. So I wonder how experienced they were at the whole thing. So.
Really? Didn't know that. Thought it was 2D boy all the way.
Huh. Yeah. No. They got someone else in.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, that'll be good. So I expect it'll be pretty decent on the iPhone. Of course, I don't think it's going to be as good as the iPad version, just because it works really well on the iPad. That extra screen space and being able to do more than three things at once with all your fingers, that actually helps the gameplay, which was a pleasant surprise when I reviewed it last year. Gave it a very good score, 9 out of 10, I think. Yeah, I was tempted to give it a 10, actually. It was very close to being a 10, but it got a 9 in the end.
Good. Well, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it should be good. So, and it'll be a universal app. We suspect it'll be a universal app. Oh. Let me just check if they've actually physically said it. Yeah, it's going to be on sale for the first day it goes up. So we'll try and keep you all informed about that. Yeah, it's going to make it. It's going to be a universal app. So. If you bought the iPad version, you get the iPhone version for free, effectively. But of course, it won't have all your saves, and you'll have to start again. So you probably wouldn't play it again on the iPhone. Well, actually, you know what? David, one of our salespeople, has played World of Goo through for about 3 or 4 times. So, you know, maybe.
Committed.
Yeah. talking of games news, let's go straight on to PopCap. Let's cover a bit of PopCap.
PopCap.
Don't normally cover much PopCap on the podcast because they're normally quite quiet, and then they suddenly release a game, and then the game becomes huge.
Well, they've never released anything.
Nothing.
on the iPhone that hasn't been released elsewhere, have they? So that's
until now. Although technically they're not releasing something on the iPhone. It's their new label, Fourth and Battery.
Yes.
And they're making a new game called Unpleasant Horse.
Well, they're making a few, I think.
Yes, they're making a few games. It's basically they've created a little studio, which is where their programmers and designers can express themselves outside of the corporate straitjacket of PopCap. That just sounds odd. I can't imagine PopCap's particularly.
Oh no, but it is true, isn't it? If you kind of that. The speed at which they release games is incredibly slow.
It is, yeah.
And they've still, I mean, it's like, you know, Peggle's still not come to iPhone, is that right?
Yeah, Peggle's on iPhone.
Is it? Not come to iPad? What is it that's not come? Something hasn't.
Bejeweled 3 hasn't.
Oh, let's look it up now.
They were very cryptic about why it hasn't as well when I asked them about that.
But yes.
Yeah, there's one or two titles of theirs which haven't gone to it. But this is basically mobile studio, isn't it? Fourth and Battery.
No, it's Facebook as well.
Social. Facebook as well, okay,
social,
yeah.
Social mobile, yeah.
Yeah, there's it's meant to be the more edgy label. So that's why they've started with Unpleasant Horse, about a cartoon horse, which is about as edgy as Adult Swim. Which one's that game? Damn it. The opposite of the Magic Unicorn game, the one with the heavy metal soundtrack. Ah, the name escapes me, but it's about as edgy as that game, what we can see from this short trailer. But yeah, you get to stomp on other horses.
Yeah, you get to stomp them into a meat grinder.
Yeah, perpetual meat grinder.
Mm.
Yeah.
See, no, Peggle hasn't come out on iPad. See, that's, I knew there was something. No Peggle on iPad.
I wonder why it hasn't come out on iPad.
Because it's a straitjacket.
Yeah, good point. PopCap's corporate structure. Awful. Keeping creativity down. You got to stick it to the man, PopCap employees. yeah.
Although it will be interesting, because you have to remember that EA has tried this approach before. They had a this is like 2.5 years ago. Back when the App Store was young.
Oh, I remember those days. He used to wear long hair, walk around with ripped jeans.
Exactly. Because they obviously didn't really have the structure, and they couldn't really put their brands in at 99 cents, and all the games were suddenly 99 cents, and that was where success was. They kind of came up with a studio called I can't remember what it's called. See, my memory is terrible, isn't it? 8 Pound Gorilla. I think that was the joke.
Yeah.
And it released one game. It wasn't very good, and then no one ever heard of it ever again.
And then they bought Chillingo.
that was a different thing. But so I just think it'd be interesting to see how it goes with PopCap, because it's very hard to run two studios with different kind of corporate kind of responsibilities almost. Because like all your cool guys go, oh, we want to go to work on the cool one where you come in late and just work all night long, and I've had enough of Bejeweled. And sometimes it can be unless you set it up as a completely different company, almost, then it's quite hard to kind of balance those two things. I mean, Pop, I think they have a good chance of doing that, because they are kind of like they understand how to make games well. But I guess it's kind of slightly, it'd be interesting how the kind of press review those games, because obviously if they keep comparing them to Bejeweled and go, it's not as polished as Bejeweled, then PopCap might end up just shutting the studio down, because it's kind of like detrimental to their overall kind of corporate kind of message.
What's annoying though is that we won't be reviewing Unpleasant Horse, because it's free. Don't review free games.
We could do some. Occasionally we do.
Well, occasionally we do. Well, I do on Android, because that's pretty much most of the games are free.
There is.
anyway,
good luck to them.
Good luck. I want to see this. I quite like the trailer. I think it's funny. Check it out. It's quite naff, but at the same time quite funny. Okay, what else? We got a sort of, this is kind of iOS related. This is our final news story for the week. Epic has, in an interview with Engadget, I think, or Gizmodo, who was it?
Gizmodo.
Tim Sweeney, who's founder of Epic Games, has said that they're not going to, they're being held off making games for Android because of the lack of a consistent experience. I'm sure this is gonna please lots of our listeners on the iPhone and iPad gaming podcast. Basically, you're not gonna see Infinity Blade on Android anytime soon, from what they're saying anyway. Yeah,
you do wonder though, because we could do it with Android 3.0, couldn't you, for the tablets? Because you know the tablets at the moment are going to be of a sufficiently good hardware.
Yeah, they're not selling very well though, apparently, latest reports.
Well, no, but that's only the Zoom. That's just one. I know it's one of those weird things where you kind of know what he's talking about, because obviously and anyone can make an Android phone. So obviously there's not consistency. I mean, that's the whole point. you know, it's like saying this apple's not an orange. I can't believe it. Oh, it's terrible.
Good job it isn't on orange. Orange has been rubbish. Anyway.
So I don't know. I mean, it's kind of one of those things that kind of, in a sense, almost gets kind of blown up out of proportion. But I mean, that's the way the situation is. You know.
Yeah.
It's kind of almost like, why would you expect Epic to, you know, release a game on Android devices where they know they can't deal with the fragmentation? And you know,
It's always a bit sort of. It's sort of, you know, if you want to get mobile games first, or be the first for these top end cutting edge mobile games, then you're going to be on an iPhone. You're not going to pick Android.
I mean, I would actually say that rather than the technology anyway, the bigger issue why they wouldn't release for Android is, I don't think you could release a $5 game. Even if technically they could release, Infinity Blade for Android devices, I just don't think people will buy it in the same way. I mean, you know, people will spend money on Android games, but they want to play it free for a bit to begin with. I mean, that's clearly how that market's developing.
There are a few on Android which cost quite a bit. Spectral Souls did okay at a very high price point. But
it's a very specialist market, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But yeah, a lot of Android users get kind of a bit annoyed whenever they see these sort of things come on. But the fact is that, you know, gaming-wise, you can't really beat iOS at the moment. That's the way the Apple crumbles.
I'd agree with that. I'm playing as much on a Zoom as I am on an iPad.
Well, I'm playing more on my 3DS at the moment. Right back at you. Yeah. No. I'm playing Real Racing 2 currently on the iPad 2.
On your 3DS?
No, on the iPad 2. I can't play it on the. You can't run that on the 3DS.
And a tenth of a frame a minute.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good game. I like it. Anyway, that's it for the news. We sort of meandered a bit there. Apologies for that.
Oh no, there's more. Wasn't there one? Ooh, we had one more news, didn't we? We had our quarterly roundup.
Ooh, yes, Quality Index first quarter. Go.
What do you mean go?
Go job.
I see. Go. Yeah, so it's our Quality Index, which is our review. What's the word?
Review aggregator.
Aggregator, that's the word. Yes.
That sounds like we're trying to sell something.
What does that mean? So it's basically where we take the reviews of websites such as Pocket Gamer, IGN, Slide to Play, 148 Apps, AppSpy. Who else? Touch.
Do they rate their reviews?
Who? Not Touch Arcade.
Oh.
No, the other. Oh, well, lots of them. Lots of them. I think there's about 30
the ones that give scores at the end of their reviews.
Yes. So sorry, we got wet-headed again. So yeah, the Quality Index is where we kind of take all the scores of all the iPhone gaming websites of all the iPhone games, and then kind of average them in a slightly magical way. So then we've done our first for the first quarter. So from the games released between January and March this year, and guess Wheel, which one was the best reviewed game?
Going to guess, because I know which three are the best three, but I don't know which in what order. I'm going to pretend I don't know. Tiny Wings?
That was a good guess, Wheel.
Hmm?
Wasn't right.
Oh, what? Dead Space.
Dead Space. Yeah, so Dead Space has been the best reviewed, I guess we could say the best reviewed game of the year so far.
Nice.
That's what first quarter is. So you got 16 reviews and had an average of 9.0.
Ooh, that is impressive.
That's very good, isn't it? Yeah, it's good for EA because they've not released many good games recently. Tiny Wings, as you correctly suggested, was second. It was reviewed 15 times and only slightly behind. Had a what we call a QI rating, 8.8. That's pretty good. And number three, I think it's very surprisingly, was NBA Jam, again from EA.
But that was a good game for what it was.
But I remember, I mean, it was...
I don't like basketball very much.
Yeah,
it's not going to appeal to me, but...
Yeah. But I think I remember Tracy saying he wasn't. He kind of felt it lacked certain features, particularly multiplayer.
That was his.
Yeah. Anyway, it got 11 reviews and got an average a QI rating of 8.6. So that's yeah, pretty impressive.
Tell you what I don't like about Dead Space. I don't like the fact that they linked it in with the game on home consoles.
Because what do you mean you like? That's the whole point of that's why
yes,
they did it.
Yes, I know, but that makes me want to get the home console version because it comes up with. I know. I'm saying I don't like my wallet being reduced automatically like that.
Well, it's not automatically.
I know, but it makes me. It's like, you know, if I see a bit of DLC, like if anyone puts on their DLC on the home consoles, like it fills in the blanks in the story, or you know, I have to get it. I'm that person. I'm like their dream.
You're a grown man. You can control.
No, but I can't control the urge. I just told you earlier on that I just resumed smoking again. It's like a DLC with story elements. It's like smoking.
Should we start paying you in something that you can't spend on games, like turnips? Should we send you a box of vegetables?
That work? I'll be down Cambridge Market.
Swapping them.
Yeah. Dead Space 2 for a pan of turnips.
Would that be worried? It's a pan of turnips. Cool.
Yes, so I think that's it from news. The rumour miner is not open this week. Apparently there was a leakage.
It's a rockfall.
Yeah, well, was it? I thought it was a sewage leakage.
Oh, no, not again.
The thing is, he says it's a leakage, but we know that he routes the sewage through. Like, deliberately. He's probably just been trying to get too much again. If you don't know, his diet is essentially raw sewage, but apparently it keeps him healthy. It's all the proteins, you see. Yeah. No. Anyway, so let's go straight on to what we've been playing, Fields. We'll make it quite a short podcast this week. Okay, welcome to the what we've been playing, Fields. I've been playing quite a few games this week, so I'm going to start.
Busy you?
Yeah, look at me. First game I'm going to start talking about in 2 seconds is Forget Me Not, which I haven't forgotten about. It's a Universal, I think. Yes, it is. Universal game, and it is wicked, man.
Wicked?
Yeah, you'll get me. It's wicked. It's like Pac-Man, only it's a lot better than Pac-Man. and I like Pac-Man, so I'm going to be slightly biased there.
Oh.
So yeah, it's a bit like Pac-Man. You're in a maze. It's very retro. It's like a very early 80s arcade game. And by the way, the sound of presentation is superb. Completely captures that era. It's just really good beeps and bloops. I mean, you can do bleeps and bloops, but there's a certain knack in managing to make it so it really feels genuinely like an arcade game from the early 80s. In any case, the arcade game that never existed because they wouldn't have been able to do it technologically. You're in a maze. You have to pick up flowers. Then you pick up a key, and then you exit the level. That's it. And then the next level starts, you do the same thing. There are nasties in the maze that walk around. There's like the traditional sort of looking ghosts, which just sort of hover about. And then there are some weird spirally things, and then it gets a bit complicated because you get ghosts which can reproduce and stuff like this. And you also get time bombs, well, bombs, which are brilliant. But yeah, all the time you're moving, you're firing. So you get to shoot the ghosts, and if you shoot them, then they drop fruit, and you know, you can pick up the fruit. But the great thing about it is that, A, it's random, so the levels are random, but you can do it so that the difficulty curve goes up smoothly. Which is clever, actually. I think that's clever. Or you can do it completely random where it's any old difficulty. But that means also that you're never quite sure what level you're going to get. The scoring is really good. It's not about how long you stay alive. It's about how many flowers you can pick up in a row without stopping, which means you've got to plan your route. Also, you can scrape the sides like in Championship Edition. That's Pac-Man Championship Edition, which builds up speed. But the more... And if you build it up enough, you can start eating the monsters, a bit like a power pill. Only if you keep charging yourself up, you explode. And so you've got to calm yourself down at occasions and then speed yourself up and also keep an eye on your flowers so that you get the right roots and all, like if you want to get a good score. Also, there's lots of little clever little things which made me laugh and made me smile when I was playing it. Like the fact that if you explode or if a bomb explodes, that whole bit of the map is just exploded. Like, you know, it changes the layout of the map through the explosions. And also the fact that you can have your key on your back behind you, but a monster can nick the key off you and bugger off somewhere up the other end of the map, which it leads like this sort of Benny Hill style chase trying to get your key back. And there's also like you, because the map warps a lot like Ms. Pac-Man, not the original Pac-Man, then you're firing off one side of the map. Your fire comes in from the other side of the map because it warps around. So unless you've got the key on your back, you can end up shooting yourself, which is quite funny, especially if a very quick monster nicks the key as you're about to go off the side of the map. And it's just very fun. It's fun to play. I'd say the only issues I've had with it was occasionally the swipe to move controls didn't always register, which is a little bit annoying, but it's not too bad because it's not one hit kills. You get health. And it's just nice. It's like someone took a basic idea of Pac-Man and then actually genuinely thought what would make this more insane. And not just for, right, I'm going to throw these ideas in and just see if what happens. So, yeah, I'd recommend everyone checks that out. It's very good. And also, if you were born in the 70s or just have a love for early 80s arcade games, the beeps and boops and the graphics are just amazing.
So who made that then?
It's a new developer, I think. Mm. I don't know off the top of my head. Hang on, let me look him up. Put Forget Me Not into the App Store with hyphens between them. Otherwise, you probably won't find it. You can get a music video up there. Brandon Williamson.
Oh, yeah. Sounds pretty cool.
Naira Labs is the... I think it's the development thing. I don't know. Brandon Williamson is the developer on here. So there you go. Yeah. So check it out. It's very good. It's good fun. But it almost links into the next game I played, which was World Conqueror 1945, because now this is an example of a game that throws too many ideas in and doesn't cherry pick the good ones. Because, I mean, again, it's initially I was quite enjoying it. It's a strategy game, turn-based, Second World War is the framework. And there's a lot of like options. You can begin at the start of the war, the middle of the war, the end of the war. There's like specific theaters of war at different times, which I really like. If you are doing a strategy game, that's the stuff I like. And it's like Risk in the fact that you take territories to get to... Actually, it's not like standard Risk. It's like one of the variations where you have to take the Axis or Allies' capitals. And you do that by moving your troops into different territories, rolling the dice and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. However, there's so many different layers that it's going to take me ages if I try to explain each one of them. Because there's stuff like you have to buy cards each round, which like you deploy these troops and you can only attack once with each unit, so it's quite slow, and then it sort of grinds to a halt, and then each game sort of takes ages to play through. I think my first game took about an hour and a half, 2 hours in total. Just going back and forth because the amount of troops you have and the amount of troops they have, and it just takes ages to get anywhere. Which is annoying. And also, there's just too much in it. It sort of adds so many extra rules and stuff, and it's not very well explained in the first place. But it adds too much. If they cut out half the ideas they put in and made it quicker to play, then it would be a very good game. As it is, I'm sure some people will enjoy it. in fact, I saw after I posted the review that it has been picking up some good reviews from people. And I can see why. If you're really into sort of slow, sort of very, very slow strategy games, it's one of the good ones on the App Store. But I personally, I don't think it has that thrill. It doesn't have much excitement going for it, which is a shame. Hmm. The third and final game.
There's more?
Yeah, that's the final one. Okay. Final one I reviewed this week. Was one that I have forgotten because I reviewed it a while ago. There it is. Drop the chicken.
Impression. Well, what?
Drop the chicken.
Drop the chicken.
Drop the chicken.
Is it Irish chicken?
Drop the chicken. No. It's just a chicken. The aim of the game is to drop a chicken. Hmm. Now, if you're thinking, that title sounds a bit like Cut the Rope, only with a chicken.
It Does it?
Then you're right. It does sound a bit like Cut the Rope. It's basically a reverse Cut the Rope, in a way. In the fact that you're dropping the cute character into a nest, rather than dropping a sweet into a cute character. it's also a bit opposite in the way the gameplay works, because you're moving pieces around on the board before you drop the chicken, so that the chicken can take a route to the nest. But it's presented in a very similar way. There's lots of, instead of spikes, you've got bombs. Instead of stars, you've got flies for some reason. I don't know why they pick flies. Do chickens eat flies? Before they
eat anything, don't they?
Well, they mainly eat corn, don't they? Or chicken feed.
Well, no, not if they're just like...
You don't get wild chickens.
Around. Of course you do.
No, you don't, not anymore.
Organic ones you do. You can, there's a whole organic range, chicken. Isn't there? The whole thing is people don't want chickens fed
all
with
chickens
corn.
All chickens are organic. They're not robots. Anyway. Yeah, so you drop him and it's very trial and error, which actually I quite like. But there are a few problems. It's that it uses the same scoring system as, like, it, you know, the three-star scoring system as all of the other iOS puzzle games seem to use nowadays, ever since some birds used it. It doesn't work in this game because you don't exactly know where your chicken's going to bounce. And it marks you down if you take more than like one or two goes to get the puzzle. I mean, you could have the puzzle solution, but you may not have put the bouncy thing just right, or you may not have put the fan in the right position, like very slightly the wrong position. And you'll not get 3 stars, which is annoying for someone like me who gets obsessed about getting 3 stars. The other...
Your personality, Will, I think you should find another job, really.
It also means I'm obsessive about getting all my copies in a really good quality. the other annoying thing is that the physics aren't reliable. I mean, the physics themselves are reasonably-ish, okay, reliable. Mm. But the hit detection and the collision detection is rubbish. You will often just get your chicken stuck in like a bouncing pad or just in between like areas, or you'll get into an infinite loop. Right. And I mean, that's not that much of an issue because then you can press restart, but that kind of, again, destroys the whole point of having a 3-star system. And it's also kind of a bit, it's not very professional. they kind of know this happens as well because it says on the help file, if your chicken gets into an infinite loop, press the, which I mean, it's like, shouldn't really be getting into an infinite loop in the first place. It looks good other than when it gets stuck. But yeah, so I mean, again, it's a game I can imagine some people will like. That's why it gets a 6. Because it's above average. Some people will like it. But you'd have to be tired of Cut the Rope to even think about getting it. I mean, it's just a much better game. but, I mean, Drop the Chicken. It's a nice idea. It's actually, it sort of reminded me in a weird way of Incredible Machine. What was that? Just because the way some of the levels work. Because some of the level design is actually pretty good. Like, or when you've got all the mechanics all working with each other and the game doesn't mess up, then it can actually be quite fun. But it doesn't, you know, just not there. It's not there. It's not got it. Mm. But yeah, what have you been playing then, John?
Actually, I forgot there's one I've been playing. It came out a while ago, so talk about it very quickly. I've not that embarrassingly, but I've not really played hidden object games because they're for old women, aren't they? But apparently they're not. I like them. I started. When was it?
Did you start James Patterson's Women's Bird Club?
No. I started one called Haunted Manor from Big Fish Games. And it's I having not played vast amounts of hidden object games, I can't particularly compare it to its quality to other hidden object games. But it was kind of just quite pleasant, you know. You kind of like, you know, your own pace. You could be watching a bit of telly and then looking around, find these strange objects. And
so it doesn't have a timer on you.
No. Not so far that I've got to. No, I mean, yeah, it's a slightly spooky story, it being called Haunted Manor. But so I'm wondering if a whole new genre is opening up to me.
Does it have the objects which absolutely have no reason why they should exist in the room?
But oh yeah, no, it's a complete MacGuffin. Yeah,
that's rubbish.
It's not rubbish. It's just not logical.
I don't like it when it's a stuff like
that. Oh, you and what find, you like and don't like.
Find the pot of newts in the kitchen. But actually, that actually sounds quite realistic. Find the axe in the kitchen. Ooh, it's a spooky axe. It's not. It's an axe. It's in the kitchen. Why the hell's that in the kitchen? Yeah, that's just.
I think you need to play more hidden object games.
Suspension of disbelief.
Okay, we're moving on. So the game I've been mainly playing, however, is another one of Glue's hardcore freemium games. I'm calling them. I'm not sure anyone else is, but so Glue Mobile, which is reinventing itself as a freemium.
You should call them Freemium Core.
Freemium Core. No, I don't think so. So, as we've discussed previously, it did Gun Bros, whatever, which we played and enjoyed. And then 2 weeks ago, they released Contract Killer, which is a kind of first-person, kind of fixed-angle first-person shooter thing, which is kind of so it's done quite well for them. But last weekend, they released a game called Big Time Gangstar. Which as you might kind of gather from the title, is about you being a gangster and kind of building up your gang of gangsters and going around it, taking over the territory. So it's kind of as with I think a lot of Glue's games, it's very kind of highly kind of polished in terms of the presentation. I mean. But equally, this would come down to being more of a kind of Farmville type approach compared to Gun Bros and Contract Killer. So basically, you have a 2.5D isometric map of this kind of like gang area or this kind of city, I suppose. And you basically just move around, and you can kind of do missions to get XP and money. And when you kind of take over a building, then that drops money on a certain time basis. So it ends up a little bit like kind of Wii Rule, where you end up with this kind of, it's the harvesting mechanic. So you end up going around tapping on stuff to kind of collect your money. And you also have this thing called Toxic, yeah, which is what you mean about now? So basically you have money which you buy things with. You also have credits which are kind of like a secondary money type thing. You can buy obviously both of those with real money, which is the point of it. It's a freemium game. And then you also have this toxic stuff which you actually need. It's kind of like an activation energy. So to do missions, you need a certain amount of kind of this toxic. But
toxicity.
Yeah, but it's kind of, I kind of. It's quite nice in a way that it doesn't kind of compel you to buy stuff. I mean, the first hour is kind of fine. You don't really need to buy anything. Then you get to the second hour. And if you really want to kind of get to that quickly, you can spend a couple of days just doing it. Or you just go out and buy some stuff to kind of like fast track your way through that hump, which I haven't done. I've not spent any money yet. And basically what you do is to you build up your gang, and obviously you buy guns for them and kind of power ups. And
can you name your gang members?
You can't actually name your gang members.
No, oh, what?
The one surprising thing actually, there's not a lot of customization or sociability. So at the moment, I think there are plans for them to have like a kind of friends social network type stuff in there, but that hasn't been released to date. So it's pretty much a single player game, although it does use Game Center. I don't know what it does with it, but when you log in, it logs into Game Center. And then what you do it's quite nice. It's like a Advanced Wars type thing, where you have the battle. Basically, you can choose a certain number of your gang, up to a certain number, to go in and fight the battle. And it basically has a right-left kind of split screen. And if you don't have to do anything at all, you can just let your guys, and they'll just kind of fire their machine guns or whatever you've given them at the enemy, and they'll fire back, and you have like little health bars, obviously, and different guns fire at different speeds and take different reload times. So you can just let it kind of happen automatically and see who wins, or you can frantically tap on the enemy if you want to particularly target one enemy, and that makes things go a little bit faster. So it's kind of quite a nice element. I think they've done a good job of taking the more traditional freemium gameplay mechanic and doing something, a little bit different. The touches are kind of good enough to encourage you to keep playing. So I've been quite enjoying that. Really, it's just you don't have to spend any money, and you just kind of every kind of hour or so.
It'd have been more appealing if they'd let you name your gang. Or, like, you know, I could call one John Jordan and give him a baseball bat and everyone else gets the weapons.
Exactly. that's a different type of game, isn't it?
That's called bullying.
But one thing, you are completely right, that there is, I think there are still, within the freemium kind of genre, there's lots of ways of doing that, of dealing with that sociability, because we don't treat our friends as friends necessarily in the game environment, do we? We do want to kind of embarrass them or kind of
get them killed.
Yeah. So
in a violent gang attack.
Yeah. So I kind of think, you know, and I'm sure lots of cleverer game designers than me, not that I'm a game designer, but lots of clever game designers are thinking about what ways of doing this. But I would say if you're not into freemium games, or you've kind of not enjoyed that whole genre, this is kind of one that may be worth checking out. Obviously it's free, and the atmosphere is more GTA, so that may be a bit more appealing. And for the first day you don't have to really spend anything.
Is harvesting basically just called extortion?
Is what harvesting called extortion? Well, it's not really called anything. You just the money just appears above your buildings. You tap on them. And the other, this is the same. This isn't particularly down to this game, but the other thing is you can earn more kind of currency or creds and all this kind of stuff by downloading other games that are offered to you.
Yeah, that's clever.
So that's from a company called Tapjoy. So it is quite interesting because if you don't download a game to begin with, they keep offering you more and more and more. So I'm just waiting until I get like 100 credits in about a month's time. But we'll wait and see.
I don't think they go up that high. I know that on Gunbros they've been offering me. They offered me a good one for Build-A-Lot 2, and I like Build-A-Lot 2 on Java. Yeah. And I was tempted to then actually get it so I could buy that gun that you use on Gunbros. But then I thought, I've already played Build-A-Lot 2 to death.
this one, I can get, I thought, there's a special offer today. I can earn 24 credits if I download AppZilla 2. If I download Zynga Poker, I only get 4 credits.
Yeah, that's free though, isn't it? Zynga Poker?
They're all free.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, that one's paid. No, you're right, that one is paid.
Oh, yeah. Because they only offer the big box, the ones you got to pay for.
They nearly had me there.
You only get like 2 or 3 for the free ones. And you've got to actually open up and run the app as well.
You do, that's true. But then, yeah.
But then you can delete it, I know, but I don't know.
I thought we hit something good there. It's you again. Spoil
it's
it.
Me. I'm just spoiling everything. That's been good. Real Racing 2 on the iPad 2, if anyone wants to know, is jolly good. Looks nice. I still can't quite get my head around, because of course you can't accelerate, and well, I think there may be a control option that lets you do that actually, but because the default is auto accelerate with brake, touched brake. I always found this Real Racing as well. I find it more so with this one because there's different types of cars. I'm never quite sure when my car's going to slide because I'm used to, you know, real racing, other racing games where, you know, you have to ease on the throttle and take the corner on the apex. Whilst in this one, I'm sort of like, I can't tell if I'm going to slip unless I'm driving a Mustang, whereupon I'm going to slip wherever I do. Because it's a Mustang.
Surely that's the point of a Mustang.
Yeah, precisely. But apparently not, because I keep losing that race. And so can't quite work out how to not slip on one corner. Never mind. Anyways, yeah, so if you've got an iPad 2, if you're one of the lucky people in the UK or beyond that have managed to pick up an iPad 2 yet, because there are shortages, then yeah, check it out. It's good. Right, I think that's it for this week. I hope you've all enjoyed that extended review session. And the news was good as well, I thought. Don't know where I'm going. Okay, I'm going to leave. That's where I'm going. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back same time next week with all the latest stuff.
Stuff.
I've been Will Wilson, and he's been John Jordan.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Listen. Goodbye.